Good afternoon. From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cormery. The Juneau Assembly will vote tonight on whether to appropriate nearly $500,000 to the Zontakahini Playground Capital Improvement Project. The money comes from the Juneau School District's fund balance and would pay for playground equipment and its installation. This round of funding would bring the total project cost to $1.3 million. Also on the Assembly's agenda is the approval of an ordinance that would allocate $150,000 from the Affordable Housing Fund to St. Vincent de Paul for long-term maintenance of their housing facilities on Teal Street. This funding is part of a round of affordable housing disbursements the Assembly approved last month, totaling more than $2 million over five projects. This appropriation to St. Vincent de Paul wasn't voted on then due to a clerical error. The Assembly will also vote on an amendment to city code that adds to the ways public notices for CBJ meetings can be circulated. The city is currently required to post public notice of all meetings in a, quote, newspaper of general circulation. The ordinance says the definition should be updated to reflect the ways Juneau residents receive public information. This amendment would change the definition to, quote, a publicly accessible source of information that is distributed to the public in print or online without a required cost, unquote. Under new business, the Assembly will discuss a recent meeting city officials had with View Drive residents about the Natural Resources Conservation Service buyout program and possible next steps in the process. And the Assembly plans to go into executive session to discuss union negotiations. The meeting begins at 6 p.m. at City Hall or on Zoom. Last week, a team of specialists from the Alaska Volcano Observatory stopped by Sitka to do some station maintenance work on Mount Edgecumbe, a volcano on nearby Khruzoff Island. Ellen Boyce is a field engineer with the AVO. She and a coworker were joined by four technical team members from the U.S. Geological Survey in Anchorage to repair two of four stations surrounding the historically active volcano.
We had a failed component in the GPS system, so we needed to go out and replace the antenna that received the signals from the satellites. And that's a pretty straightforward fix, and it only took us one day.
The GPS system in question involves four metal tripods stationed around Mount Edgecumbe since 2023. The system provides data in real time about tectonic shifts happening at the volcano, rather than waiting for a satellite to pass overhead, which happens only once every 12 days and produces less accurate results when it's snowing.
And so we're really interested in whether two stations on opposite sides of the volcano may be moving toward each other and down, which would suggest deflation of a magma body, or if they're possibly moving away from each other and up, that would suggest there could be inflation of the magma chamber.
Boyce says deflation generally suggests that a volcano is less likely to erupt in the near future, whereas inflation refers to a recharge of a magma reservoir that could feed a future eruption. While there are no written observations of it erupting, Tlingit oral history describes small eruptions around 800 years ago, and geologic evidence points to a major eruption around 13,000 years ago. The status of the 3,000-foot volcano, located 16 miles from Sitka, was changed from dormant to historically active a few years ago, following a swarm of small earthquakes. Since then, Boyce says the AVO has installed local seismometers along the antennas, which are able to provide more accurate information. Two antennas at the site began to fail back in December. Boyce says it wasn't until February that the AVO team found a good weather window to swing by and fix them. She says her team is planning more field work this summer to keep the equipment monitoring smoothly. And British Columbia is proposing to limit U.S.-based tribes from government consultations related to environmental projects. Tribes in Southeast Alaska and Washington say this exclusion can negatively affect their communities when considering mines and infrastructure near the border. KSTK's Colette Zarnicki has more.
British Columbia sent a letter in late January to Alaska and Washington state tribes informing them that the province is proposing to amend the Environmental Assessment Act, excluding U.S. tribes from participating in its environmental assessment process. If the proposal passes through the legislative process, U.S.-based tribes would essentially be locked into a lower tier of participation. Under Canada's Constitution, governments have a duty to consult Indigenous nations if their Aboriginal rights could be affected by projects. But Alaska tribes and the Lummi Nation in Washington say they haven't been consulted about BC's mining projects, just notified. So they have taken British Columbia to court. The tribes argue that instead of letting the court decide on those cases, British Columbia is trying to change the law. And if the law changes, then the tribes' court cases would be irrelevant. Guy Archibald is the executive director of Southeast Indigenous Transboundary Commission, which advocates for 14 tribes. He says limiting input from U.S. tribes puts a line on the map that cuts the transboundary watershed in half.
Nothing in nature respects that line on a map.
He says if a mine upstream leaks heavy metals, tailings, or acid drainage, the pollution doesn't stop at the border. He says this could affect salmon populations that many Southeast Alaska communities depend on. He says excluding downstream tribes violates a tribal duty to steward the land and preserve the environment that has sustained them for future generations.
It kind of rips the heart, you know, out of cultural continuity.
Gabriel Cantu represents the Lummi Nation, located northeast of Bellingham, Washington. He says historical documents and archaeological sites confirm the Lummi has existed across the current Canadian border.
Canada, the Crown, BC's failure to meet that deep consultation duty is arguably not, how do I put this in Canadian terms? It does not meet the honor of the Crown. Honor is very important.
He says amending the Environmental Assessment Act is just another step in disqualifying U.S. tribes from engaging in deep and meaningful consultations.
Well, this is, in effect, BC's disrespect for the rule of law, Canadian law.
In an email to KSTK, the province's Environmental Assessment Office said they take their obligations to consult with Indigenous tribes very seriously, and that includes in the U.S. if they have a credible assertion of Aboriginal rights from the Supreme Court's ruling. They said they are developing a consultation policy that will clarify how the province consults with U.S. tribes that have asserted rights in B.C. If BC's amendment to the province's Environmental Assessment Act is approved, it could become law by late 2027. In Wrangell, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
And Juno musician Taylor Dallas Vidic has joined a lot of acts over the years. She sings with big bands, Motown groups, and other singer-songwriters. Now, after working on it for years, she's releasing her first album, Cat and Mouse, in April.
He walks in a state.
Can you tell me, like, the story of this album, how it came to be? I know some of the tracks on it you've been working on for years, and I'm curious how this took form and the way it is now.
This album is a bit of a scrapbook for me because it does include songs that were written as far back as my early 20s. And not all of the songs are about real people, but enough of them are that they have been moments of time in my human experience as a young person in Alaska and in Southeast Alaska. A lot of the songs do center around an amount of romance, but also encompass great friendships. But these songs are about someone, usually me, falling in and out of love in their 20s in small communities and in a bizarre state where you will continue to have relationships with these people, and it is up to you to navigate how to do that thoughtfully and lovingly while also acknowledging that people and relationships have seasons in your life, and sometimes those seasons need to end. And that is so hard and heartbreaking and also so beautiful that I have gotten to care about people like that and be cared for like that.
It takes time, you see.
I think one question I have is,
yes,
as you were putting together this album with some songs that you've written years ago, are there any songs that kind of changed the course of the album for you?
Songs are still changing the course of the album for me. This has been such a process. You record the songs. Spencer Edgar's arranged most of the cat half, the jazz half of the record. Thank goodness Spencer arranged half the thing, because recording that half was so easy in some ways because he did so much of the heavy lifting of turning my lyrics and my melodies into these soundscapes that I could have never come up with on my own. The song I'm referring to is called High. And there's a really sweet trumpet solo and a sweet sax solo by Spencer. And there's just this jazz instrument conversation that happens within the song. I just get giddy every time I hear it.
Can I ask, what is the first song you wrote on the album?
Oh my gosh. I think it's Muse, which I wrote when I was 20. I would be a liar to say I didn't wish you were here. I took someone ziplining when I worked for Alaska Zipline Adventures, and we had one very innocent night hanging out afterwards at the rendezvous. And then I got to write this fun song about it, and it's going to be the next single that I come out with on the 20th.
I know you've kind of said a little bit, like, who the album is about.
Yes.
Who is it for?
Ooh, that's nice. If people buy my special release vinyl, they will get to see who the album is dedicated to when they open it. But I'm going to leave that information there.
Birds outside, eating trash off the street. Been 2 weeks since I've been shoved my feet. Sure of my senses and the ways you look at me. That's why I'm leaving and I'm staying away. Said I'm leaving and I'm staying away.
That was Taylor Dallas Vidic talking about her debut album, Cat and Mouse. She's hosting an album release show the first weekend in April at Perseverance Theater. And we have a correction for a story we ran on Friday about Cascade Point, which said the ferry terminal is planned for the north side of Berners Bay. The terminal is planned for the south side of the bay. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 28 degrees and snowing. And the National Weather Service has issued a winter weather advisory until 4 a.m. tomorrow. This is KTOO.